Joining us now for our weekly attempt to answer the question, how did politics in America get so weird, is New York Times op-ed columnist Gail Collins. Her book, When Everything Changed, The Amazing Journey of American Women from 1960 to the Present, has just been released this month in paperback from Back Bay Books. And we talked about it when it was released in hardcover, Gail. Remember that?
Yes, so long ago.
Well, we're so pleased that you are with us every week. And we thought we might run out of material,
but
no. It gets weirder and weirder. And we've reached the point in this campaign season where candidates across the country are debating. Last night's New York gubernatorial debate was filled with colorful characters. Were there any moments that stood out for you?
Unfortunately, all the standout moments were from people that never heard of me. I think the rent is too damn high party possibly won the night.
Jimmy McMillan.
Yes, yeah. And and then the moment that Carl Paladin decided he had to go to the bathroom and raced off the stage right before his closing remarks, that was good. But mainly, I mean, if you've got seven people, five of whom no one has ever heard of and will never hear of again sitting there on the stage, you cannot really expect the public to feel they're going to get a fascinating evening of revelation.
Well, Kristen Davis, of course, people have heard of before, but under other circumstances.
Yeah, you don't want the madam who claims she furnished the last governor plus two with hookers to be one of your candidates, really. It doesn't help.
But, you know, people have complained over the years that the debates tend to eliminate the other parties. And
I've never complained about that.
You haven't?
Never.
Well,
ever.
If you were Ralph Nader, for example, you might have complained. But here, the democracy just kind of got out of hand, didn't it? Nobody really had a chance to say much.
Well, I can't tell you how much I resent this. And this is not just a New York phenomenon. Most places in the country, particularly places that are awash in God help us colorful characters, you have these endless ballots stacked with all these people who are only running to get attention, who don't have organizations, who don't have followings, who don't have anything but just a hope for 5 seconds of debate time. And I just don't think we should be encouraging them.
Well, let's go to Kentucky for a moment, because the Democrat Jack Conway is running an ad in his race against Rand Paul for the Senate seat there. And it's got a lot of attention and become part of their debate. We're going to play a little clip.
I'm Jack Conway. I approve this message.
Why was Rand Paul a member of a secret society that called the Holy Bible a hoax that was banned for mocking Christianity and Christ? Why did Rand Paul once tie a woman up, tell her to bow down before a false idol, and say his God was Aqua Buddha? Why does Rand Paul now want to end all federal faith-based initiatives and even end the deduction for religious charities? Why are there so many questions about Rand Paul?
Now, they have gone all the way back to his college pranks.
I'm so wounded by this, because on Saturday, you know, I wrote this long column saying one thing you don't want to do is go back to the college stuff, unless you personally would like everything you did in college broadcasted on an ad when you're 52 years old. Don't do the college. 2 days later, the Kentucky Democrats did the college. And I think it's crazy. I mean, you know, Rand Paul, there are all these issues. This is a guy with a huge track record of saying very controversial things about Medicare, about federal work on drug control, about the Constitution and the separation of church and state, all this stuff. And yet we have to go back to the fact that he was in a secret society when he was in college.
Well, I think it's an attempt to paint him as an atheist.
Well, it's attempt to make him look weird, which is the whole bottom line of the Democratic campaign.
And now Alaska Senate race has had its fair share of news this week, including Joe Miller's security detail arresting a newspaper editor and putting handcuffs on him. Do you know why that happened?
You know, I was talking to somebody, a longtime reporter in Alaska, and he said, you know, even the governor of Alaska doesn't have this kind of security detail. Basically, the problem was that when Joe Miller was working as a lawyer for the borough in, I think, Fairbanks, he used the computers, the city borough owned or whatever computers, to work out this plot he was hatching to try to take over the Republican Party. And he was, I think, penalized or censured or yelled at or threatened or something for it. He was trying to let this not be out. And there was some blogger who was following him around, asking him questions about it. So they had the guy taken hostage, really. Worse than taking the girl to worship Aqua Buddha, I think, is taking the reporter hostage during the town hall meeting.
Well, he's also been accused of taking government monies, even though he is campaigning against that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And a number of Republican candidates have run into that. They say it's not hypocrisy. They say they're just taking back money that they gave.
You know, it's interesting. What it is really is it is hypocrisy, but it's also a failure to plan well. You know, if you know that you're a guy who did not make much money and who used state-funded health care plans for your family and whose wife collected unemployment compensation, that's fine, but then you don't say unemployment compensation is unconstitutional, because really we would have expected more consistent behavior from you, and that's what it gets down to.
Also in Alaska, Senator Lisa Murkowski, who's now a write-in candidate, had a new ad up this week that featured an endorsement from her deceased colleague, Senator Ted Stevens.
Ted Stevens ad.
We're going to run a little clip of that one.
Putting our family before her campaign, Lisa made certain the ad did not air out of respect to my dad and our family. Now, my family and I want you to hear for yourself how strongly he felt about the need to re-elect Lisa.
I trust Lisa and her commitment to keep fighting for us. She's working for Alaska every single day. We need Lisa and the seniority she's earned now more than ever.
That music is fabulous, isn't it? That started with his Ted Stevens' daughter, Sue Kovich.
If you ever wondered whether the Republicans were right in saying that that Lisa Murkowski represented the Alaska establishment, she even represents the dead Alaska establishment.
What has the Democratic candidate in that race, Scott McAdams, been saying? Has he been sticking to his talking points?
He has. You know, his talking points were actually pretty much the same. His talking points were that Ted Stevens would have approved of him because he, too, wants to devote himself to going to Washington and getting tons and tons and tons of money for Alaska, which relies on federal money for about 40% of its economy. And he's very cute. I mean, he's very likable. He's a very sweet guy, and he's, you know, had ads showing himself buying a new suit for the campaign and stuff like that. But he's not nearly as well known as Murkowski is. And it's going to be a very weird night. We could wait for months to figure out what the heck who won in Alaska.
My guest is Gail Collins, who writes an op-ed column in the New York Times, and whose latest book, When Everything Changed, The Amazing Journey of American Women from 1960 to the Present, is out this month in paperback. We do have some amazing women in the current races, but this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. I just want to stick to Alaska a moment longer because immigration has become a major issue in this campaign. And in Alaska, Joe Miller spoke at a middle school on Sunday and was asked about how to deal with illegal immigration. By the way, are many people sneaking into Alaska? Are they doing it over from Siberia?
They would like more people to sneak into Alaska. That's one of the interesting things about Alaska. This is one place where they would love for you to come, whoever you are. There's not enough people there.
Let's listen to a clip.
I served my country. I was a West Point cadet. During my time at West Point, I actually spent time at the full gap. That was the 11th ACR, when the wall was still up between East and West Germany. And, you know, East Germany was very, very able to reduce the flow. Now, obviously, there are other things were involved, but we have the capacity as a great nation to obviously secure a border. If East Germany could do it, we could do it.
I'm not sure the point he's trying to make there, that East Germany did it right. They built the Berlin Wall.
We could use that for many purposes, I think, in the future. But that is one of the more interesting comments of the week. The other being Christine O'Donnell, the Republican in running for the Senate in Delaware, you know, saying it with sort of stunned amazement when her opponent said, well, you can't be teaching creationism in the schools because that contradicts the First Amendment separation of church and state. She said something along the lines of, that's in the First Amendment?
Well, in Nevada last week, the Republican Senate candidate Sharon Engel spoke to the Hispanic Student Union at Rancho High School, where she was asked about border security and her ads that have what look like dangerous-looking Hispanic boys sneaking across the border. And here's her response. Oh, she said, so that's what we want – is a secure and sovereign nation. And, you know, I don't know that all of you are Latino. Some of you look a little more Asian to me. I don't know that. What we know about ourselves is that we're a melting pot in this country. My grandchildren are evidence of that. I'm evidence of that. I've been called the first Asian legislator in our Nevada State Assembly. One of her aides said later that she'd made the remark about being the first Asian legislator because a reporter thought she looked Asian. Well, I've looked at pictures of her. She doesn't look Asian to me.
Not to me. You have to have a very broad concept of what looks Asian, I think, to think that Sharon Engel falls into that category. But this is another example of the reason why Sharon Engel never talks. I mean, she never lets the media, and this is very common this season, just not letting the media anywhere near you, not releasing your schedule, not telling people, you know, where you're going. Because I think the last time outside of the debate that I know of that she was actually somewhere where somebody got a tape recorder onto her was the time that she announced that Dearborn, Michigan, and Frankfort, Texas were under Sharia law, Muslim law, and she's now learned, I think, that that's not true.
Well, the mayor of Dearborn threatened to sue, and in her speech about the illegal immigration, she said the real problem is from Canada, where all of the terrorists come from, and now the Canadian ambassador has complained. In the case of Christine O'Donnell and Carl Palladino, some of their wild remarks have really hurt them. But not Sharon Engel. She's still neck and neck with Harry Reid. Is Harry Reid that weak a candidate?
Yeah, that's the problem there. The poor people of Nevada, you know, they're really unhappy. Their unemployment rate is like 14-15%. They've got no water. All their houses are foreclosed on. They are so miserable. They really want to show their resentment.
But they had a boom, and when the rest of the country was suffering, they were doing well. Isn't this just a natural consequence of that kind of bubble?
Well, you know, easy for you to have this long, expansive vision, but the people in Nevada don't feel that way. Harry Reid is not a lovable guy. He never has been a lovable guy. He's never done that well in elections, and he represents everything about the status quo that people are ticked off about. So they're dying to vote him out of office, and actually Sharon Engel's making it very, very difficult for him. Which is sort of a tribute to something. I'm not quite sure what. That's the worst race in America. The people there who are voting are more unhappy than anywhere else. And, you know, they have a none of the above on their ballot. And I know the Democrats are really hoping that a lot of the unhappy people take that option.
Meanwhile, we'll be reading you in the Times. Do you have two columns this week?
I sure do.
You're not taking any days off?
No more days off.
And then we'll see you next Tuesday, and we'll be seeing you every Tuesday through Election Day.
Which is not that long away.
Yeah, but it is a Tuesday. It'll be fun talking
about
all of the craziness we've seen in this series, How Did Politics in America Get So Weird? Thank you so much, Gail Collins.
It's always a pleasure.